gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin nation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
L'action de grâce pour nous rendre à Dieu à votre sujet. Pour toute la joie que nous éprouvons à cause de vous devant notre Dieu. Lorsque nous prions, nuit et jour avec instance, pour qu'il nous soit donné de vous revoir et de compléter ce qui manque à votre foi, que Dieu lui-même, notre Père, et que notre Seigneur Jésus dirige notre route vers vous. Que le Seigneur fasse croître et abonder l'amour que vous avez les uns pour les autres et pour tous, à l'image de notre amour pour vous. Qu'il affermisse ainsi votre cœur dans une sainteté irréprochable devant Dieu, notre Père, lors de la venue de notre Seigneur Jésus avec tous ses saints. Hear what the Spirit saying to the church.
Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord
I speak to you in the name of Christ who loves us and comes to us. Amen. These scriptures describe the world falling apart. And maybe it's a feeling we know, that feeling of dread that the world is falling apart. There's a common thing that people ask themselves when they feel that. What's the worst that could happen? And then we actually go there and dwell in those worst case scenarios. It might be a relationship that is breaking, or the earth and climate change, awaiting a health diagnosis. If you read the Anglican newspapers, it would seem all our churches are going to close by 2040, so maybe we wonder about that. Or if your life is in a country that where you feel you have no future. These are the kinds of things I've heard people talk about as feeling like the worst could happen. But will it happen? How will we cope with our fear? One of our ways of handling our fear is to indulge it. And so there are movies about post-apocalyptic times, and for 2 or 3 hours you can go sit in front of a big screen and watch everything fall apart. And maybe you come out and you go, whew, I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. But you go and you sit there anyway. There are nature documentaries with cute baby animals, and then the documentary turns to, and if we don't mend our ways, there won't be any baby animals like this anymore. There are nuclear war movies. There are vivid pictures of Canada and the United States under totalitarian regimes, with everyone reading Hannah Arendt and wondering when it's going to happen. There's the potential end of a job, and you just agonize over the conflict you're feeling. And then relationships do end, but it can be really messy. So sometimes we indulge those fears and we live in them and we feel paralyzed. And even sometimes the worst does happen. We have to look around in the world and say, yes, the worst is happening to some people, and sometimes even to me. But sometimes your vision of the worst just leaves you paralyzed. It doesn't happen, but you're in your paralysis. And I then have to ask, what about getting through it? What about hope? Can we really live without hope? Our scriptures say that that is not our path. The gospel reading from Luke is a passage that is called apocalyptic writing. We aren't so sure of the history of when that passage came to be. We aren't sure whether Jesus thought there would be an end in his own time. But it does help us to identify with our hard times. It's difficult to pin down the exact circumstances of why this text and other ones like it were written. Maybe they were doing exactly what we do when we go to one of those 3-hour movies where the world ends. They were watching their fears circle the drain. And they did that because they needed to hope again, but they had a moment where they indulged their fears. So Luke's gospel does this. He says there are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. He says there's distress among nations. He says people will faint from foreboding. He says even the powers of heaven will be shaken. So that's the setup of any one of those scary movies that I'm thinking about. It's also the setup of any negative spiral in my own head. But what does Jesus do with this scenario? Yeah, he says pay attention to the signs. You know, look at the fig tree, look at the poles. But he also says, do not let your heart be weighed down by dissipation. So I wasn't sure what dissipation is. Do you know what dissipation is? Okay, so for those of you who don't, discover it with me. It is the squandering of your energy and money and resources in your fear. Do not let your heart be weighed down by drunkenness, he says. Do not let your heart be weighed down by the worries of this life, or you'll be like you're caught in a trap. Now, I'm just paraphrasing Luke here. I'm just putting him in my own words. But what else does he say? He says, pray for strength. He says, God will break in. The Son of Man is coming on a cloud with power and great glory. God is breaking in. So stand up and raise your head. That's what he says. Stand up and raise your head because your redemption is drawing near. In other words, this is not going to be as bad as you have mentally indulged. And what if it is? What are we going to do? So there are some responses as a church community. The collect, that's an ancient word for a prayer. The first prayer that we had, the collect of the day, has this beautiful phrase from the 4th century. Give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I like this idea of putting on light. For me, putting on light is putting on faith in God's goodness, putting it on faith that God is breaking in for you and for me, for all of us. So in terms of the church's role, what we can do together about this breaking in of light, there are many images. This light one is a powerful one. It's a season of Advent where we light candles. We're saying light is the image. Think of that light that you don't put under a bushel basket, but it lights the whole house. We're saying light is an image of the power we trust God is giving us. But another image I like is that of a web. There is a web of strands between you and me, between you and each other, and we won't fall through it. If you look around, you know some people. It's not possible to know everyone's struggles, but there's a lot we can do for each other. Become the person who holds up other people. It may be just one or two. or your friends or your family. We can create a safe environment that is encouraging and loving and refrains from judgment. I think we do that. I think that is our story. We're creating an environment that is safe and loving and refrains from judgment. When I think of the clergy role in that, I can't help thinking about that. I have come to appreciate that the clergy role is in partnership with the other healing professions. So I think, yeah, talk to my doctor, talk to my therapist, talk to my spiritual director. Think of all of us healing professions as working together. We're not competing. We're trying to make that web work for the people who think they're falling through. How do we support each other's web and their place in it? How do we support you so that you don't fall through? Well, I'm going to say put on the armor of light, whatever that means to you, and I want to hear it. What is putting on the armor of light for you? And if it is your time of struggle, let yourself be known to one or two people who love you and trust you. And let your struggles be known to God, because God is breaking in. To be the person of hope, practical hope that things will be better, means living your life. Living your life in community, living your life with God, living your life maybe in a new place. We have people who have come to live in Ottawa from around the world. We have a recent migration of people who have come because it didn't feel like there's a future where they were. And we can trace this back. My family came in the 1950s. They didn't feel like there was a future where they were. Sometimes we can change our environment. Sometimes we have to change ourselves. But it's about letting in the light. If you could think of a daily practice that is about letting in the light, putting on the armor of light, maybe you have one in your mind already. Last night at 10 to 11, I was not finished my 10,000 steps. And you know, it's a silly number, right? I've been talking about my 10,000 steps all the time. It's a silly number. I was 200 steps away. And you know, you could have people say, well, just let it go. But it symbolized that I was holding on to the light. So I put on my shoes and my coat, and I did that walk around the block. And at least I went to bed with my 10,000 steps. Whatever little thing helps you to let in the light, it's good. My vision of our community is that we're the safe place where each of us learns to hope again. It means love. It means confiding a little bit where you feel safe to do so. It means refrain from judgment. It means you can open yourself to God's light here with us in this season and in this day. Amen. Let us pray. In the beauty of this day and in the beauty of this place, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the church, for all Christians everywhere. We pray for Anne, our interim primate. We pray for Shane, our bishop, and for Gary, our priest, and the St. John's ministry team. In the wider church, we remember the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples, the Right Reverend Christopher Harper, National Indigenous Anglican Archbishop, Sacred Circle events, and the Ministry of Reconciliation. We uphold in our prayers the Diocese of Jerusalem and Archbishop Hossam Naum. In our diocese, we pray for the Church of the Epiphany and all who minister there. And we remember the Reverend Karen McBride, who was ordained to the priesthood yesterday. Gracious God, may your Spirit give strength to all your people as they work and witness in your world. Unite us in your truth and love, and help us to show your love to others. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for all people, for places where there is war or famine. Restore to new life the places in this world that suffer from conflict and are deaf to the message of peace. Bring harmony where there is strife between nations and where people are divided by suspicion and bitterness. We pray that in all places of conflict, that you will open new pathways to ending violence among nations, within our nation, in our communities, and in our homes, so that there will be safety, freedom, and justice for everyone. We pray for communities around the world who are threatened by the effects of climate change. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We lift up Charles, our king, Justin, our prime minister, Mark and Maud, our local mayors, and all in authority. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for our community and for all who live and work in this area. We ask God to watch over those who struggle to pay rent or a mortgage, those who have no home. We give thanks to God for all those who serve in our community in so many ways. Today, we remember especially the ministries of Belong Ottawa, The Well, Center 454, and St. Luke's Table. Let us pray to the Lord. On this World AIDS Day, we unite with people around the world in the fight against HIV and AIDS. We stand in solidarity against HIV stigma, and we remember lives lost. We pray that the red ribbon will continue to be a universal symbol of awareness and support for people living with HIV. We pray for all people in need, for sick people, for those in hospital, those dealing with addiction, and for those with any other problems. God, give your strength and healing to all those who are sad, lonely, or in distress, and bless all those who try and help them. We pray for Ted, Diana, Pat, and Alice. Let us pray to the Lord. We remember all those who have died. We remember especially Pat Hutchison, Sally Williams, and Eric Turner, in whose memory the altar flowers are lovingly given by his parents, John and Patricia Turner. God of hope, we thank you that not even death can separate us from your love, and we pray for all who mourn, that they may feel your care for them. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, you create us by your power and redeem us by your love. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit so that we may be faithful stewards of what has been entrusted to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen.
Serve the Lord.